My subject today is I remember when, believe it or not, I was once a youth. My text is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. And verse 12 is our text today. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith, in purity. Till I come, attend to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophetic utterance when the council of elders laid their hands upon you. Young Timothy was a minister. Practice these duties. Devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Hold to that, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I like the way the Living Bible paraphrases the text of the morning. Do not let anyone think little of you just because you are young. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. You've heard me quote from the writing of Ann Weems several times from this pulpit. She is a delightful woman, an excellent poet, and she writes with such a celebrative tone to what she is writing about. She wrote a remarkable little book, Reaching for Rainbows, and in that book she is recalling and celebrating a little boy that she taught in Sunday school. He was one of those little boys that could not sit down, could not sit still. His teachers would never knew what he would do next, and he and his family has now moved away. And she's lost track of little Tom McCall, but she thinks of him often. She recalls, for example, when she first met him in the hall, just outside of the Sunday school classroom where his class was meeting, and on first impression, he just simply stuck his tongue out at her. She remembers him walking away from her, and his shirt tail was hanging out. That's really how he wore his shirts. She recalls paint on his face when in an activity they were doing some finger painting in Sunday school, and then she noticed that he had also painted the wall behind him. She recalls the children's choir processing down the center aisle of the church. And Tom McCall was in that choir, but he was backing down the aisle of the church. So now that he's moved away, she wrote a poem about Tom McCall. And she named the poem to Tom McCall, Wherever You Are. And this, in part, is what she says about this remembered little boy. I've always loved you, Tom McCall, of spirit large and figure small. Tom McCall, the grin on your face, you've melted hearts all over this place. And then in church school, late in the fall, we spoke of a child who had nothing at all, nothing at all. And Tom suddenly took his feet from the church school wall and emptied out his pockets and gave his all. So here's to you, Tom McCall, a child of grace. All of our children are children of grace. They are the gifts of God to this church, and they are our future. When we deal with them and we shape their lives and we encourage and support and love them, we are shaping the future, because I believe when God wants something done in this world, that a child is born. And on this Youth Sunday, we celebrate all of these gifts of God to us. I wonder if you really know how many gifts we have. There are 1,438 preschool and elementary children, 200 toddlers, 205 infants, 41 babies have been born in this church since January the 1st, 1997. That's really a part of our membership development program. We have 845 junior high and senior high teenagers in this church. 500 plus of them are active in the life of this church. We have 400 plus college students. The average age of this congregation is 31. The average Presbyterian is 60. One of the young people asked me this morning if I was, in fact, the oldest Presbyterian of them all. We're going to miss that child. This church is seeking, as I stand here now, to minister to the spiritual needs of six generations, which makes us a very unusual church in terms of the span of the generations that are a part of this family. And in the text of the morning, a warm-hearted letter is being written by Paul to his young friend and protege in the ministry. Scholars believe that these are the last two known writings of Paul before his death. He's basically giving young Timothy, as an older apostle of Jesus Christ, one more experience in ministry, some advice about ministry and Christian living. He's putting some of the challenges of ministry in proper perspective. It occurred to me as I was writing this sermon that those of us who are older always offering advice to our younger friends. It's not so much that we think we are smarter and brighter, it's just that we have journeyed a little further. And we want those who come after us to profit from all of our mistakes and to learn from our successes, whatever they've been. It is in this context that Paul says to Timothy, and it must have been tremendous affirmation to Timothy, do not let anyone think little of you just because you are young. Just because you're young does not mean that you're not influential. We center most of our happiness as we grow older in the lives of our children and in our grandchildren. Your feelings, your viewpoints, your potential are not something that is ignored by us. We think you are, in fact, our future. A young person in this church wrote me some weeks ago. I wish I knew who it was. He signed just Joe, and I have no idea who Joe is, but he told me that he was 8 years old, and it was obviously a child's handwriting. And he said he had heard about our building, and he wanted to make a contribution, and he enclosed in his note a dime. And he said, if you need more, just call on me. Now, that's the spirit. You see, you can build a church on that spirit. He wanted to do his part. May, in fact, be the most important gift we will receive to build here yet again. Before we get to the advice that Paul gives to young Timothy, I want to begin by saying to all of us today that we are living and our young people are growing up in a world that presents them with tremendous challenges. I think we ought to look together at the context in which all of us are living so that we might be even stronger in our encouragement of those who represent the next two or three generations. Charles Dickens opened his famous work, The Tale of Two Cities, with an unforgettable line, "'Tis the best of times and the worst of times." Dickens might have understated the reality when we consider our time, because there are those days when we view the evening news and the stories in the newspaper that it seems that the worst of times have gained the upper hand. When I see the world of today, and remember the world of my day as I grew up. The difference is like night differs from day. For example, I was born before television, before penicillin, and polio shots, and ballpoint pens, and contact lenses, and frisbees and hula hoops, before radar and credit cards and laser beams, before pantyhose, dishwashers, clothes dryers, electric blankets, air conditioners, and before anyone ever walked on the moon. When I was born, it was before tape decks and boom boxes and CDs and electric typewriters and yogurts. And when I was born, a chip meant a piece of wood you needed to put in a box. And software was not even a word. I hit the scene during the era of the 5 and 10 cent store, where for a quarter, which is what my earnings were in those days, you could go to a movie, have a box of popcorn, have a Coca-Cola, and have a little left over. You could mail a letter and 2 postcards for a nickel. You could buy a new Chevy coupe for $600. A pity not more could afford one, because gas was only 10 cents a gallon. In our day, cigarette smoking was fashionable. Little did we know. Grass was something you mowed. And Coke was a cold drink. And pot was something you cooked a stew in. And rock music was what your grandmama sang when she rocked you to sleep. I was not born before people had noticed that there were differences between the sexes. It was a vastly different world in rural South Carolina than the world in which you are being reared. The reality is that every generation faces its own unique challenges. My boyhood days were lived out when this nation was involved in the most global war of its history, a war in which 1 million men were killed, World War II. The youth of today face a plethora of choices, and not all of them are good. Some represent peril more than potential. And many of the choices that you confront did not even exist when I was born. I grew up, for example, in a church society. You're growing up in an unchurched society. Half of the American population does not darken a door to the church, and 30 million of the boomers have never been to church. And it's the boomer children, many of you, that we're shaping in this church. I grew up in a society that embraced certain core values. We live in a society where there is little or no agreement on core values. It's like the psalmist said, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. I grew up in a society where there was solidarity of the family, where divorce was rare. And today, our young people are growing up in a society where the family is under challenge, if not assault, and the children are being called the abandoned generation. A friend of mine, a professor at Duke, a distinguished professor, in a thought-provoking article that he wrote in the Christian Century, tells about reading the personal history of 16 students in one of his classes. He makes an earnest attempt to get to know his students, so he asked them to give him an essay on their personal history. 7 of the 16 students in the class mentioned that the most life-changing experience of their life was their parents' divorce. Only 1 of the 16 papers mentioned a father. It was, said the professor, as if these young people were orphans. I grew up in a society that celebrated order. We are now living in a climate of information overload, instant communication, and the stress of chaos. A highly rated television show that is currently being shown is set in a Chicago emergency room. And they aired an episode some months ago in which a child was brought to the hospital after being shot by a member of a gang. And gangs, by the way, in the city of Atlanta are on the increase, as they are nationwide. While the doctors in the emergency room in the TV Chicago was working on the victim, the teenager that tried to murder the person on the operating table came in to finish him off. But he was prevented from doing so. And there was a commercial break and another show came on, for after all, that's not real life, that's television. 28 hours later, in small town Georgia, an argument breaks out between teenagers over a radio, and one teenager is shot by another, and another teenager who tried to stop the argument was shot and killed at the scene. The wounded child was taken immediately to an emergency room in a local hospital in a small Georgia town. While the doctors worked frantically to save his life, the child with the gun walks into the emergency room, shot and killed the patient on the table, and then began to shoot randomly and shot out the lights in the emergency room, and all was quiet. And when the light was restored, the young murderer lay slumped in the corner of the room, having taken his own life. There was no commercial break. For this time, it was not TV, but real life. Now, I don't want to discourage any of you who are young, or any of you who are parents and grandparents of the young, but there is much promise in our time, but there is also much peril in our time. The time in which you are growing up and in which we are living will challenge everything you've got. You must know who you are and what you believe and to what end you are living. This church is here to be an eager partner in the adventure of life with you, but you must avail yourselves of its fellowship. And parents, we want your child to be all that they can be, but we must have your help and your active participation. And the building program that is coming will focus primarily on the needs of the future of this church at the point of children and teenagers. Somebody sent me a Peanuts cartoon the other day. It had a powerful message. Charlie Brown is asking Schroeder, "I guess it's wrong to always be worrying about tomorrow." Then he answered his own question, "Maybe we should think only about today." And Schroeder finally says, "No, that's giving up." And then Schroeder adds, "I'm still hoping that yesterday will get better." There's nothing we can do about yesterday. We can learn from it and in some cases celebrate it. Yesterday is gone. It's gone. As the poet said, the moving finger writes and having writ moves on. But we can celebrate today and rejoice and anticipate and work far and toward a better tomorrow. So we live in this church in great hope and in great anticipation of what all of the young people growing up in this church will lead us to become. But I come now, secondly, to the four bits of advice that Paul gives to young Timothy. And I think they're very germane to this celebration of Youth Sunday. And I'll give them to you quickly. Paul said, first of all, to Timothy, celebrate who you are. Be glad that you are young. that your whole life is ahead of you. You cannot miss this bit of advice. It's so clear. Despise not your youth. Forget about your voice changing. It'll get right. Pretty soon you'll be shaving and you wish you didn't have to. Learn all that you can. Enlarge your mind, deepen your heart, and begin to set the steady habits that will serve you well for a lifetime. Celebrate who you are. And then, secondly, confront the prevailing tide of things for good and for God. Be a good example, Paul says to Timothy. A good example. When you're young, you hunger for peer acceptance. You want to be in some group with those who are just like you. But friends, select your associates with care. Do not fall into the habit of going along just to get along. Hold on to your ideals and your standards and turn aside from those who are moving in the direction of anything goes. My heart has gone out to the families of those three teenagers that were killed and the poor child that was driving that car. Her young life will carry a scar forever. What are the prevailing tide of things? Well, sex is in. If we are to believe the available data, most of our youngsters are sexually active by the time they are 16. You're playing with dynamite. Booze and whiskey and beer, they're in. The dean of students at Washington Lee University said alcohol is the most serious problem facing students at Washington and Lee. As drinking goes up, grades go down. Drug use is in. And on it goes. You can have it all and have it now, but the reality is you may spend the rest of your life dealing with the scars and the tragedies of having it all. A third bit of advice he gave Timothy was concentrate on developing your capacity. Till I come, give attention to reading. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Develop your mind and your faith. Head and heart can grow together. It will take discipline to be and become all that you can be. We all celebrated the electrifying moment in sports when Tiger Woods walked up the 18th fairway at the Masters last Sunday to thunderous applause, and as he approached the green, then he made the record-breaking and setting putt, and victory was his, and the sports world was at his feet. He's a very appealing young man. His comments reveal an inner strength and maturity beyond 21 years. A good role model for us all. And the media attention he rightfully deserves for his accomplishments will fly him into outer space. We need to remember him in our prayers. But young friends, he didn't walk out the back door of his mom and daddy's house one day and pick up an old golf club and felt the heft of it and say, "Hey, Mom, I think I'll sashay down to the Augusta National and win the Masters." That's not how it happened. He spent hours on the putting greens. For years, he hit iron shots until his hands were sore. He played golf day after day after day. He's probably hit 10,000 golf balls out of sand traps, perfecting those shots. And then the moment came, and he was ready. He now wears the Master's jacket. Now he can relax. It's in the bag. You think he can relax? The answer to that is no. If he is to maintain his skills, he will still have to practice and practice and practice and pay the price. Your gifts will fade if you stop working, no matter what your age is. And then the fourth and final piece of advice Paul gave to young Timothy was, call frequently to mind just who you are. Take heed to yourself and your doctrine. Timothy was a Christian. His grandmother was. His mother was a Christian. Remember who you are. Most of the teenagers in this congregation I baptized as infants. I held you up one day before God and the family here and said, look, folks, this is a child of God. You are God's children. And our children, and we love you. I'm now marrying young men and women that I baptized as babies. I feel just slightly younger than Stone Mountain some Saturdays. But you are our future, and our hearts are with you, and our hands are willing to help you. So I challenge the young people of this church and your parents and grandparents to reach for the rainbows. And we can do that by being a rainbow to one another. Some weeks ago, a young woman, a teenager, I baptized her as a baby, came by to see me, and I bumped into her in the hall. We didn't have an appointment. And she said, I've come to see you. I said, well, come on into my office. She said, no, you come with me. And we ended up on the front steps of the church out there. And we talked about what a beautiful day it was and how beautiful the spring had been. She said, I guess you want to know why I want to see you. I said, well, I'm always glad to see you. I've watched you grow up. I remember when you used to hug my knees when you came up after church. You were that knee high. And she said, well, I want you to help me answer a question. What do you think I can be? And I know the answer to that question. And I said it to her, you can be anything that you want to be by the grace of God. There's not a young person in this church who cannot be anything that you want to be by the grace of God. Will you stand? Go now in peace. And as you go, remember that by the goodness of God, you were born. And remember that in the mercy of Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed. And remember, He walks with you every day to comfort, to strengthen, to guide. He promised He would. Lo, I am with you always. And remember that while others have called you servants, He has named you friends. In the strength of that mighty friendship, go forth now to serve in the Master's name. Till we meet again.